You are tuned into Hogbeat Radio, another episode of this incredible show that we love bringing to you every single Thursday on hogbeat.com via our YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. I never do this, so please like and subscribe. I've never said that, but I ask that you would do that because that's what everybody else does, and obviously it helps us. So wherever you get your podcast, wherever you're listening, give us a thumbs up, whatever it may be. We appreciate it. We feel like we do a good job. I am Mason Choate. He is Riley McFerrin. We're both with hogbeat.com. That is spelled H-A-W-G-B-E-A-T.com, the Rivals website, covering your Arkansas Razorbacks, who will be taking on the Blazers of the University of Alabama at Birmingham this Saturday, Riley. And there's a lot of different places that we could start with this episode of Hogbeat Radio, which is not a podcast, by the way. Anybody calling this a podcast, you are wrong. It is not a podcast. It is a show. So if you're like, hey, I listened to this podcast with this Mason guy and this Riley guy. Nope, you are saying that wrong. You're disrespecting Hogbeat Radio. It is a show. Anyways, we could start a lot of different places, but I feel like we just got to start with Walmart and Tyson Foods, Riley. Is that where you want to start?
That isn't where I was expecting to start, but I say let's go ahead and get that out of the way. Yeah, let's go ahead and get that done.
You know what is most important in this world to a lot of people is money. And Walmart and Tyson Foods are giving plenty of money to the University of Arkansas to have their logos on the 25-yard lines of Frank Broyles Field at Razorback Stadium. Now, Riley, I think, and this is based off of talking to other people, and I could go find the information on my own if I wanted to, but I think that it is just Razorback Stadium. While it still has Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium on it, I believe that those naming rights have run out, so it is just Razorback Stadium. Anyways, not a big deal. What is a big deal? Arkansas has it's not even a new sponsorship. It's an extension of a sponsorship that they've had with Walmart, they've had with Tyson Foods. If you go to Razorback games, you obviously know that those are two of the biggest sponsors. You know, homegrown sponsors. We all know Northwest Arkansas. We all understand for the most part what's going on there. Obviously this is kind of a new thing. I believe this was just approved by the NCAA in June or July. We've seen Tennessee put the Pilot Travel Center logo on theirs. Do you know of any other ones? I couldn't think of any other ones off the top of my head.
No, Tennessee's the big one. I think they have like a lot too. Like they're not messing around when it comes to those sponsorships. So, and hey, have you tried those Arkansas Razorback Nuggets from Tyson?
No.
Have you tried those yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't tried the Razorback Nuggets, but I'll tell you what, man. And no free ads, so I'll just say that I go to the store and I go to the frozen section and I purchase a red bag of chicken patties, and those are great, man. If you're like, you know, you're busy like myself and like you are, and a lot of people are busy, it's so easy to just take a frozen chicken patty, throw it in the air fryer. And there you go. You got a chicken sandwich. You don't have to drive all the way down to Chick-fil-A, or if your name is Riley McFerrin, Popeyes. No free ads.
I agree. They're a good go-to. Got to get the spicy one, in my opinion. Spicy is always better. But yes, big news for Arkansas. I mean, we kind of all knew that this was just waiting to happen. Tyson, Walmart, they've been linked to Arkansas forever. You got John Calipari, Tyson, you know, that storyline going on. We were all just waiting for it to happen, and it's finally going to happen.
Yeah, and look, this is let's talk some inside baseball here. This is something that we've kind of known about. Like you could have assumed that this was going to happen. You know, I've been hearing about it over the last few weeks that this is something that was going to happen. Obviously, this is the home opener for Arkansas on September 14th. So, week three, Arkansas will be having its home opener, true home opener. War Memorial Stadium does not count. So that's why this news was released today, Thursday, when we're recording this. And so there you go. You're going to see those new logos on the field this Saturday when the Razorbacks take on UAB. So let's get into it, Riley. Before we do, though, I need to tell you about hogbeat.com, H-A-W-G-B-E-A-T.com. Go subscribe to our website, please. Look, a lot of people ask me, you know, how does your job work? How does everything work? Our job is most of our revenue comes through subscriptions, and we work hard for those people who subscribe to our website to provide them with the top-notch, high-quality information that they're looking for. Not only is it insider information that a lot of it we don't even post on Twitter. A lot of it's just on our message board. But also, we are doing like some really in-depth articles every single week. we do a lot of stuff that'll get you prepped for the games on Saturdays, right? And honestly, like selfishly, it's for us. Like we got to learn about the teams, and then we put it out for our subscribers, and it's really good. We're giving you the numbers. We're really like we spend hours researching this stuff, right? We're not going out there and playing the games, but we have to know about it, and we have to be able to talk about it and be informed on it. And so that's what we're doing for our subscribers. It's less than $10 a month. Less than $10. You go down to the gas station and you get an energy drink and like a candy bar. You're spending $10. So just think about it. Would you rather have an energy drink and a candy bar, or would you rather have information on the Arkansas Razorbacks? I mean, I personally, I'd rather have information on the Arkansas Razorbacks. Riley, yourself, what would you rather have?
I would rather, yeah, info on the Arkansas Razorbacks. That might be one of the best sales I've ever heard. One of the best sales pitches I've ever heard.
And a better deal is that if you just get a year instead of monthly subscription, you're going to save even more money. It's like $99 and some change. So you're not having to pay the full $10 a month. You're saving a couple bucks that way. And I know there's some of you who are sitting there and thinking, what? An energy drink and a candy bar is $10? Well, if you haven't been to the gas station recently, it really is like that expensive. So we're trying to save you some money here. Just give the money to hogbeat.com, and then you can know about the Razorbacks, everything that you need to know, all the good stuff that we do. You can get it, hogbeat.com. Check us out. Thank you. All right, I'm done with that. UAB. Do we need to talk about the Oklahoma State game?
I mean, I think we need to talk a little bit about it because, I mean, you know, we were kind of talking about it a little bit when we sat down in the press box, how when the two teams were warming up, you know, you kind of felt like something was in the air. You know, there's no reason why Arkansas couldn't come in there. I know it's a ranked team, and no one expected you to win. Everybody just wanted you to be competitive, and they did. But you kind of felt like maybe they could pull something off here. And, I mean, boom, right out of the gate, they get up 14-0. You're thinking, man, Arkansas is finally here. They've gotten over that hump. Bobby Petrino's offense is for real. But then there's that little thing, that little voice in the back of your mind. How is Arkansas going to mess this up? And I'm just going to give you this stat line. This stat is via Corey Stewart. You may know him as Stu Hogg. And Stu Hogg is the guy that posts all the Arkansas baseball highlights to YouTube after every game. Shout out to him. Since 2020, which is when Sam Pittman was hired, there have been 338 games where a team put up 550 plus yards and outgained its opponent by over 200 yards, right? Arkansas did that. In those games, those teams are 337-1. That one team being Arkansas. The average score of those games, 53-15. Arkansas won or lost 39-31 in double overtime, right? I don't think there's a game that more truly embodies Hogs gonna hog than this game.
Yeah. I've listened to like a lot of national reaction to this game, because obviously from the Arkansas perspective, I feel like we watched that game and it ended and Arkansas lost the way that it did. And we were just all like, here we go again. Like this, it really wasn't that surprising to us. Like, yeah, it was tough the way that everything played out. And when you just look at the numbers after the game, it's just like somebody on our message board, you know, Wednesday was like, I'm still sick to my stomach thinking about it. And that's how you should feel, because it is the ultimate example of losing the game instead of letting the other team win. And right. So Alan Bowman had his comments after the game.
And he was not that impressive during the game. So that was interesting.
He wasn't. And, you know, he looks even worse given the fact that Marquise Robinson had a stinger pregame and wasn't even going to play. That's kind of like a niche thing for Arkansas fans. If you're a true Arkansas football fan, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We don't have the time on this episode to really get into that, but go check out hogbeat.com or our Twitters. You'll have to scroll back a little bit, but you'll find it. I really just feel like everybody has really talked about the Oklahoma State game so much. Everybody understands what happened. Arkansas lost that game. And if they can't realistically, and we're probably going to get into this a little bit more, but realistically, if Arkansas can't win close games, I mean, it's just, what are you doing, right? Like, you have to, at some point, those losses have to turn into wins. And I hope that maybe Bobby Petrino is a factor in turning that into something like that? Because you think about last year, what did you not have? You didn't have that head coach experience, even though your head coach was in his fourth season. Now you have, you know, maybe Bobby Petrino's a safety blanket, but let's move it along here, Riley, because we got to talk about these UAB Blazers led by second year head coach Trent Dilfer. 11 former SEC players on the roster, I believe you had. A lot of former Power Four transfers starting on their depth chart. And it really, to me, it all starts with the QB, Zeno. I mean, this kid, former Baylor transfer, really athletic, set a ton of school records last year. And he's got some weapons. So I don't know really what – I mean, if you go watch the film from their loss against Louisiana Monroe in week two, I mean, it was 32-6 loss for UAB after they won in week one against, what, Alcorn State? So they're 1-1 on the year. They went 4-8 last year. A team that you look at it, it's a mid-major team with a ton of talent, but is that going to translate? I mean, they're not going to beat Arkansas this weekend. That's just not going to happen. And if it does, then it's going to be a long night for the boys over here at hogbeat.com.
You know, I haven't been in this business for very long, but going out and saying a guarantee like that, I just feel like is a way to, you know, have something come back and bite you. But no, I agree. Like Arkansas, they should not lose this game. I don't care how many, you know, former SEC transfers you have. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you're a quarterback who, by the way, finished second nationally last season completion percentage, 73.6%, that being Jacob Zeno. Doesn't matter. Arkansas on paper is the more talented team. Just eye test, they're the more talented team. This should be a cakewalk. And if it isn't, then I think you kind of know how the rest of the season might play out.
Yeah. You know, I worry, you know, how much did the game against Oklahoma State kind of highlight maybe some of the weaknesses that Arkansas has? Because you know, Arkansas dominated in that first half. We were watching it. I mean, line of scrimmage, both sides of the football, everything other than a pick six for the most part was going right for Arkansas. Also, Tyrone Broden dropped a touchdown. Just saying.
That was a crazy throw, too.
The guy dropped a touchdown, and so that was tough. And then, I mean, whatever Oklahoma State saw on film, and we're, you know, pointing out to their guys, you got the iPads on the sidelines now, so you can do that kind of stuff. You can, I assume, I don't know if you can use the iPads at halftime, but I would assume so. But I
believe so.
So, like, all of that makes me think, what was it that Oklahoma State was seeing? Like, there's something that Arkansas was doing that maybe they really fixed. And I haven't, you know, hand up, I haven't gone back and listened to everything Mike Gundy has said after the game. You know, he's had a few media availabilities. But Arkansas was more talented than that Oklahoma State team, and they dominated them for half of football, and then everything just went wrong. And we know that a lot of it was mental mistakes, and you can get away with stuff like that against a team like this UAB team. But, I mean, even last year, like, you think back to the Kent State game. Like, Kent State entering the season, you know, ESPN always does the bottom 10. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Kent State was on that. Like, that's how bad they were. And I mean, they kind of pushed Arkansas around. We've talked on this show about how Western Carolina, the FCS team, did last year. That's not what you saw against Oklahoma State. So I feel better, you know, in that respect, that Arkansas isn't – it's not like they're getting pushed around, although you go look at the grades, you know, Keyshawn Blackstock and pass protection. I've never seen a grade that bad. He had like a 14. And
it was rough.
Somebody commented on Twitter, and they were like, Blackstock had a 14? Well, yes, he did. But in the run game, like, they blocked well for the most part. So there are things going right. There are things not going right. You hope that they can get it figured out. This is another team that, like, it's kind of unfortunate that you're playing a team like UAB. You know, I said a minute ago that Arkansas should win this game. I don't think that's a statement that's going to come back to bite me. It's just not. If it does, then we have a bigger issue at hand, Riley. So that's why I'm okay saying that. Anyways, getting back to UAB, whatever they did last week against Louisiana Monroe and the Fighting General Booties.
I was going to say, shout out to him, by the way. Great name.
They had some good plays. And you look at it, if you went back and watched the film like I did, You know, at halftime, it was a close game. I want to say it was like 15-6 or 12-6 or something like that at halftime. And even, you know, in early second half, UAB has a few big plays. They had a really big run by Zeno called back that if they scored there, I think they might have cut it to a one possession game, something like that. Like it would have made it a more interesting game. So like stuff like that happened. You don't really recognize that stuff if you're just looking at the box score. So I think that we kind of need to throw that game out the window for UAB. But what else you got on this team? You did some fast facts. I really like the fast facts.
Yeah. So I mean, the thing that jumps off the page to me last year, Alex Mortensen, by the way, former Razorback quarterback, he helped lead a Blazer offense that finished 18th in yards per game. That's 450 yards per game. That's pretty dang good. And, you know, they had a really, really impressive performance against Georgia on the road, number one Georgia at the time. I think that score, the score was a bit lopsided at the end, like 45-21. But, I mean, 21 points on the road for UAB against number one Georgia, who we all know how vaunted that defense is. And at halftime, they were only down 14. Which is why, you know, coming into this game, I know it's a different team, different year, you know, and they didn't look great against ULM, whatever. But I'm a little bit hesitant, not crazy hesitant, but a little bit scared to say that Arkansas should just come in here and, you know, just destroy UAB, because I know that they have that kind of potential to go on the road and score against SEC teams. But I mean, besides that, I will say, you know, coming into this game, some players to watch, obviously Jacob Zeno. Wide receivers, Amari Thomas and Cam Shanks. Amari Thomas, actually former high school teammate of safety TJ Metcalf. So they kind of have a thing going on there. Running back, you have Lee.
Apparently they're like really close. TJ said that they've been talking, and apparently Amari tried to call him when he was at practice earlier this week. So that's cool.
Yep. And then in the running back room, you have Lee Beebe Jr., who more of a shifty guy, you know, maybe a little bit more speed, not your true power back. They have a good pair of defensive ends in Kendall Johnson, Desmond Little. I think they both recorded a sack in the season opener against Alcorn State. And then they have a safety that's coming along and looking really good. Former Georgia Tech transfer, Sarad Bryant, I think is how you pronounce that name. So they have some players. You know, we already said they've got a bunch of former Power Four SEC guys. They had a really good offense last year. Don't know how that's going to match up against Arkansas's defense, which, you know, like we said, I mean, they flat out dominated that first half against Oklahoma State. And so as long as they, you know, I don't expect them to let go of the rope after one loss. I expect Arkansas to be able to do that again, replicate that performance in this game.
Yeah, you mentioned Desmond Little. He's from LSU. They also got another linebacker. I think Everett Rusaw is also from LSU.
That sounds familiar.
So the linebackers for them are very athletic. I thought that they kind of jumped out to me on film. Desmond Little, 6'6", 240, you know, rushing off the end. He definitely jumps off the page. So they have the talent. They have, you know, their offensive line kind of got pushed around. I want to say Louisiana Monroe had a rusher or a defensive lineman who really went off against them, which makes me feel like, could Landon Jackson finally do something? And he's kind of – there's another podcast out there that has been going off on him. And – I'm not going to sit here and go off on Landon Jackson, but dude, if you're this, you know, potential first round NFL guy, I understand, you know, Oklahoma State, really experienced offensive line. He didn't really do anything against UAPB. I know he's going to get chipped every single play. He's going to get double teamed very often, but you want to see him impacting the game. And I just really don't feel like he's done that through two games.
You're right. And, you know, Sam Pittman, he was asked about that, and he kind of said that Landon Jackson is going to continue being chipped and like double teamed until somebody else, you know, steps up on that defensive line and at the edge. You know, maybe it's Nico Davier, maybe it's Anton Junkaj, who, you know, has kind of not seen his name highlighted a bunch so far through two games. But that's that next step for this Arkansas defense. You know, the linebacker room has been, you know, fine. The secondary, they didn't have an amazing day against Oklahoma State. If you look at PFF, actually, I think a few of the starters finished in the bottom five on the entire defense, including Jalen Braxton. But, I mean, something that'll help that is the defensive ends and the defensive line getting that quarterback. And I think you're going to really need to do that against Jacob Zeno, who has already proven to complete passes at a high rate.
Yeah. You know, Sam was asked on Monday about just – pressure on the quarterback, and also you got to win the turnover battle too. Like, the turnover battle was a big storyline for the Oklahoma State game, and we, you know, throughout this episode, we're just going to keep going back to that. And
yeah, it's hard not to.
Yeah. So you put the ball on the ground. The pick six for Taylen Green was just huge, and what happened on that play? He had the rush off the right side. You know, Colin Oliver. You want to talk about who's the right tackle, the guy who graded out with a 14 on PFF.
Not only him. I actually went back and watched that play. Yeah, Keyshawn Blackstock let his guy blow right by him, but Addison Nichols let the linebacker, I don't know who it was, blow right by him too. So there were two guys coming in on that right side. I think it was 3rd and 8, something like that, and Bobby Petrino drew up a perfect play. Isaiah Satania was wide open for a big gain, hit him in stride. I know he may still be running, and he gets hit as he's throwing it, and the game completely changes from there.
Yeah. And you do want to mention, though, like, for the most part, Arkansas was really good on third downs, though. I want to say their third down.
They are number one in the country as of right now in third down percentage.
Yeah. So, like, this is not to say that, like, Arkansas just couldn't convert on third downs or things were going wrong the whole game. But that play was a huge momentum shifter. You know, maybe not at the time, but you look back at it, and that was a big play. And then obviously the Satania, you know, muff punt. So let's hear from Sam Pittman here about QB pressure and takeaways.
As well as you played defensively, is QB pressure and then the takeaways that maybe result next level for you guys?
That's what we have to do. I mean, we're not, you know, we have one turnover in two games, and I think we've had one sack. If I'm correct, I think Nico had a sack or Bradshaw maybe in the first game, but I don't believe we've had another one. And so we have to pressure. I believe we will. We're very aware of that as well. And we've got to get better D line of rushing, but at the same time, we may have to pressure.
Mason, you're still muted.
So that was Sam Pittman on Monday. Dang it, dude. Now I'm an old guy. Oh my goodness, that makes me mad.
Hey, man, it happens to everybody.
I hate it when people can't unmute. Now I'm that guy. So yeah, that's an issue. And even, you know, Oklahoma State, man, they were blitzing the heck out of them. And I asked Sam after the game, because like I didn't feel like it was a situation where Arkansas was just not picking up the blitz. I felt like it was more than that. And Sam basically said, like, we practiced it, but they just kept sending more guys than we had. And, you know, Jaquinnon Jackson, probably your best pass blocking running back, you know, there in the second half, he was dealing with cramps the whole time. It's hard to ask a guy like Rodney Hill, like, yeah, hey, we need you to pick up a 235-pound linebacker running full speed. So
not an ideal situation.
Yeah, so like those are the things that you got to get fixed. Now it'll be easier against UAB. Any other stuff on UAB that you want to add?
I do kind of want to add, you know, we were watching the players talk about UAB, and Andrew Armstrong and Jaquinnon Jackson didn't really give a whole lot. They didn't want any bulletin board material. But TJ Metcalf, man, I mean, he kind of let it loose a little bit. He flat out said, I don't think they're going to beat us on the perimeter. I know, especially in the run game, they're not going to beat us. We're going to shut all that down on the edge with Nico, Landon, Anton. We're going to shut them out. That's what he said. So pretty strong words from Metcalf there. I don't know if he's going to end up being right. But, I mean, you like to see that confidence at least from a guy who, by the way, is a team captain for this game.
Yeah. We'll get to team captains here in a second. UAB through two games averaging 197 rush yards per game. That ranks 39th nationally. They do only rank 96th in the country in scoring offense, 23.5 points per game. A 6-point performance against Louisiana Monroe will do that to you. So kind of hard to really read into stats too much after 2 weeks. But, you know, you want to look at some Pro Football Focus grades just offensively. For UAB, Arkansas is better than them in every single offensive category. But defensively, like, this UAB defense, even against Louisiana Monroe, looked good at times. We know that they performed well in week one against an FCS opponent in Alcorn State. But, you know, they rank 3rd in the nation in pass yards allowed so far, only 73.5 pass yards allowed per game. Obviously, Taylen Green's coming off of a week where he threw for 400-plus, and I believe he ranks 2nd in the country in pass yards. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. Obviously, having Andrew Armstrong was huge for Arkansas against Oklahoma State, man. I didn't expect him to have 10 catches for 164 yards.
I mean, career game, only his second 100-yard performance. Last year, I think the other one was against Florida. So, and Arkansas won that game. They didn't win this one, but, I mean, getting him back, like, that's your go-to guy. That's your security blanket. I think if you can take one positive thing away from this game, and it's, I know it's hard to do because you lost, Jaquinna Jackson's running game, I mean, he looked great. Like any situation before he got hurt, and then the ability for Andrew Armstrong to kind of take over.
And by the way, Arkansas fans, Jaquinna Jackson promised that he will not have cramps again, so we got to hold him to that.
There you
go. If Jaquinna has cramps again, he lied to us. Okay. But if he has like 160 something yards and three touchdowns again, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I think you're okay with that.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to the team captains for this game. Those were announced on Wednesday night. You mentioned it. TJ Metcalf is one of them, the sophomore safety. Devin Bale, the punter. How about him? Had his first punt of the season.
Yeah, finally got to punt.
And I'll tell you what, man, no offense to Max Fletcher, who somehow was second team All-SEC last year, but Devin Bale is more of a gamer, and he looked all right. He downed one. They downed one at the 1 or 2 yard line, so that was good to see. Then you got Jaheim Singletary, who had an interception, his first career interception after he was targeted hard for like the first few drives by.
He got picked on a little bit.
Yeah, so he did that against Oklahoma State. And then Isaac Teslaw, who had a big third down catch. You know, we've talked about him. You want to talk about a safety blanket? That's probably your best safety blanket if you just need a guy to catch the ball, right? But if you need a guy to get open, catches. If you need a guy to get open, it might not be Isaac Teslaw. But
yeah, kind of a weird combo there.
Yeah. So Teslaw also one of the captains. Those are your four captains: TJ Metcalf, Devin Bale, Jaheim Singletary, and Isaac Teslaw. Let's talk about the depth chart real quick. I guess we haven't even talked about the kickers yet, Riley, from the Oklahoma State game.
Man, how have we not touched on that yet?
That's a good question. I mean... you know, people have asked. I don't have an answer. I don't know why Kyle Ramsey is the starting kicker to this moment in time in my life, in the history of the world right now, as I'm speaking at 2:46 p.m. on September 12th, 2024. I don't know why Kyle Ramsey started against Oklahoma State. And I hope that we see Matthew Shipley against UAB in some form or fashion.
I mean – yeah, it's no offense to Kyle Ramsey.
It's no offense to Kyle Ramsey, but he missed two kicks. He did. He missed two kicks. Your only job is to kick the football.
And, I mean, we heard, like, twice in fall camp that Matthew Shipley hit, like, game winners. And I think one was, like, from 50-plus yards out. Like, he's got that leg. He's shown that before. I know a scrimmage is one thing and in-game is, you know, something else, but I mean, coming off a game when Kyle Ramsey missed two very important field goals, I just feel like Matthew Shipley has to be right there for that kicking job.
And there was also, you know, one of those scrimmages, I think Ramsey went 0 for 4. And,
right.
And he was banged up a little bit. I think he had, what, a groin issue or something. And so I don't know how much that affects him, but, like, if you got a guy who's not 100%, why is he kicking for you? And I'm not saying he wasn't 100% against Oklahoma State. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. And maybe Ramsey is the better kicker. Maybe that's just the fact of the matter, and he missed two field goals in a game that was a very high-leverage, high-pressure game. You know, there in the second half, the Oklahoma State fans finally got into the game. They were non-existent in the first half. So, anyways, say all that to say, on the depth chart, there's now an or between the two of them, whereas there was not one last week. So, we'll see how that plays out. What else, Riley? Did we have anything, any other changes?
I don't. You know, off first glance, I didn't really look at it beforehand. I don't think there are too many big changes. You know, injury-wise, we're still kind of looking, you know, in that secondary, who might be healthy. I know Jalen Braxton is listed first team. He's kind of – we'll get into injuries a little bit more, but he's dealing with a bone bruise. You know, I mean, we'll see what happens there. Offensively, obviously, Patrick Kuda is still questionable. Don't really expect him to play. But other than that, I don't think there's too many changes here.
Jaden Wilson, no longer listed. So
yeah,
between the last time we recorded and now, Jaden Wilson officially announced that he was no longer with the team. I think we talked about that, didn't we? how he
we kind of brought it up and we're like, eh, let's wait and see what happens. Yeah.
So we waited and we saw that he is leaving the team and he will enter the transfer portal. So I do have to mention with the Jaden Wilson situation, I have to say this. Part of his statement when he left the team after the 70-0 win over UAPB, in which he played 8 snaps on offense as a redshirt junior wide receiver, he says, quote, "I will continue to dedicate myself to playing at the highest level of college football. I love the sport, and my passion to play is greater than ever." Okay, buddy. Yeah. Anyway, so Jaden Wilson, no longer listed on the depth chart for Arkansas, no longer part of the Arkansas Razorbacks football team. You mentioned the injuries. Sorry, I need to take a swig of agua. All right. You mentioned the injuries. Let's get to it. Sam Pittman on the weekly SEC coaches teleconference updated some of the injuries.
Well, Brax hasn't practiced much this week. We're going to check him out. He's got a bone bruise, and we're going to check him out a little bit more today. Hud, he's doubtful. I don't know that he'll be ready this week. Cuddy, I think he'll be fine. But Braxton's probably still wait and see. I probably know more about it after today's practice, to be honest with you, Bob. And then Cuddy will go and Hud.
All right, there you have it. Hudson Clark, very doubtful with a back issue that he I guess flared up in the Oklahoma State game. We saw him play a little bit early and then didn't really see him for a little bit. And then we saw him on special teams. You know, he's front line on the kickoff return team.
I will say Hudson Clark, maybe it was the first drive, he had that one really impressive pass breakup.
Yeah. The secondary for the most part, like they got picked on a little bit, but they got some pieces. Let's put it that way. We'll see how things turn out the rest of the year. Jalen Braxton, obviously, like we're talking about the secondary here, and like most of the injuries are in the secondary, though, so they got to figure that out. Marquise Robinson, who is Cuddy, by the way. When he says Cuddy, that's Marquise Robinson. He should be good. And then Jalen Braxton, we'll see. You know, again, if you don't have Jalen Braxton in this game, not the end of the world. You would hope. It could be. We could be looking back and being like, man, if they only had Jalen Braxton. But and there's still a chance he could play as well. So I guess we should mention Patrick Kudus, though. Don't expect to see him. He's still got the back. Still don't know when he's going to play. Really starting to feel like a Tarian Carter situation where we were told preseason that maybe a few weeks, and then we're probably going to get to the Missouri game and then be like, yeah, he's done for the year.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
But I mean, hey, you've got a pretty good backup in E. Marion Harris. So hey, that might be the first time we nailed it. First time. So I mean, again, yeah, UAB, that really shouldn't, you know, if you look back and you're like, man, I wish I had Patrick Kudus for this game, you've got other issues to worry about. So
yeah. You know, speaking of pronouncing names, Riley, I wanted to do this exercise with you. So you mentioned Alex Mortensen, the offensive coordinator for UAB, but I want you to pronounce the defensive coordinator's name for us. And I have the pronunciation guide pulled up, so I'll be able to correct you.
Okay.
This is just a fun exercise because he has a name that is difficult.
Good.
I've got it right up here on the screen. Oh my God, you see it?
Yeah. All right. So Sione Taufoe.
That was very close.
I don't know.
Very close. According to UAB Football's pronunciation guide, and I'm just reading this based off of how they wrote it, Sione Taufoe.
Taufoe. Okay. Yeah, I can see how I messed that up.
I think that's how it is,
actually.
But he's in his second year as the defensive coordinator for the Blazers. Shout out Alex Mortensen, his father, Chris, you know, the Chris Mortensen, a lot of people know him as the guy who was with ESPN for a long time. He passed away in March. So rest in peace, Chris Mortensen. Shout out, Alex. We do have another Arkansas connection in this game, though. The punter, Patrick Foley, former Arkansas punter. I don't think he ever punted with Arkansas, but he is their punter and their holder, I believe, Riley.
And he did, I think, I don't know. Let me find the distance. I know he had, I think, a 64 yard punt in week one against Alcorn State, which as of now still leads that conference in distance. So shout out to Patrick Foley, obviously having a good career after leaving the Razorbacks.
All right. Let's keep it rolling here on Hogbeat Radio. By the way, subscribe to hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. Riley, let's get into our Bet Saracen props and picks for the week. Bet Saracen, the mobile sports gambling app for the Saracen Casino Resort. We're very thankful for their partnership with us at hogbeat.com and here on Hogbeat Radio. Every week we're doing our picks, and once again, we are here recording the episode, and we forgot to go back and see how our picks did last week. Unless, Riley, did you write them down?
I did not.
No, you are the worst.
Well, let me think. I want to say... Oh, man. I feel like I remember one. I might remember we keep talking.
I took the Luke Has one, which did not hit. The yardage hit, but the receptions did not hit.
Okay.
I don't remember what else I took, though. So let's let's pull them up here. So we got them right here on the screen. If you're watching on the YouTube, which, by the way, is a private video, you got to go to hogbeat.com to watch the YouTube version. We do put a little effort into the production, so it looks good. All right. Do you have, I guess, let's give Daniel Fair's picks, because he couldn't be on the episode. If you don't know Daniel, he's a staff writer for us at hogbeat.com. He does a lot of great work for us. Really appreciative of his efforts. And he sent us his picks. Here's his picks. He's got Isaiah Satania over 4.5 total receptions and over 45.5 receiving yards. That's at plus 150 odds. And he has Rodney Hill total carries or total yards over 27.5 and over 4.5 total carries. That is at plus 135 odds. Those are under the double R props tab on Bet Saracen. I like the Rodney Hill one. If he's going to be the true number two running back like he was at Oklahoma State, that should hit pretty easily.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't really have any from the double R prop section. I kind of want to mix it up a little bit and go outside into the realm of college football. There's actually a game today. Arizona State will take on Texas State at Texas State. And so, you know, Texas State, you know who they got on staff? The infamous Chad Morris, who is their wide receiver coach, pass game coordinator. Arizona State coming off a win over Mississippi State, an SEC team, a bad SEC team, but still, they are currently a plus 120 money line underdog. So if you kind of want to fade Chad Morris, I don't hate that. And then tomorrow, another former Razorback coach, Barry Odom, and the UNLV Rebels are traveling to Kansas. They're a plus 260 money line favorite. I don't know about that one, but they are an 8.5-point underdog. So if you're feeling, you know, a little extra frisky, you might parlay those. Arizona State, money line underdog in UNLV in the points, and that will spit out plus 320 odds. I don't hate that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, I've bet on Arizona State each of the first 2 weeks, and they have let me down.
That's because you were betting on them.
That is because I was betting on them, dude. Shout out the New York Jets. I will never root against a team harder than I will root against the New York Jets this year.
Don't ever bet against the 49ers, man. I'm telling you.
I didn't bet against them. I had their money line. All I needed was the over. I was 1 point away. Oh,
you're betting against their defense.
No, I wasn't. I was betting on their defense because the last drive, all they had to do was stop Tyrod Taylor in the second team Jets. Oh yeah, I bet the under. Sorry. Oh my gosh, don't get me into it. Anyway, I took the over in Arizona State, Mississippi State last week, and that didn't hit. And I put a significant amount of money on it, and I didn't.
You're an idiot.
Hey, don't call me an idiot.
hey, I will say. I don't know if you – do you have any double R prop picks?
I don't have one, but I do – I'm ready – I'm prepared to give my pick right now if you will allow me.
Go ahead.
Okay, floor is mine. Thanks, Riley. LSU is a 6.5-point favorite at South Carolina. I don't know – I mean, shout out South Carolina for getting lucky that there are no other good matchups this week and they get College Game Day coming to town. Because there's no reason in the world this game should be on College Game Day. There's no shot that South Carolina covers 6.5 points. You're telling me that Rocket Sanders and a redshirt freshman quarterback are going to be able to just replicate what they did last week at a Kentucky team that doesn't like their head coach because he tried to leave them? Is that what you're telling me? No. Give me LSU -6.5 at South Carolina.
Okay. I guess I'm not shocked that you didn't take Tyrone Broden's prop. As we all know, any weekly listener on this show knows that Mason Schoed is not the biggest fan of Tyrone Broden. So I'm not surprised there. I will say another game I'm kind of keeping an eye on. Maybe not keeping an eye on, but it's a good game. Number 20, Arizona at number 14, Kansas State. I want to say, I don't remember the score of the Arizona game last week. Let me see if I can pull it up very quickly here. They were very good last year. They beat New Mexico 61-39 in a high-scoring affair. They're a plus 220 money line underdog, but also a 7.5-point underdog. I just kind of feel like Arizona, you know, has that momentum from last year. That might be a close game. Maybe another one to keep an eye on if you like that. But also, because Mason took LSU to cover, I'm going to also hammer South Carolina to cover, because right now plus 6.5, they're a plus 100. That's plus 100 at plus 6.5. So
okay,
you want to make some money.
Let's make this more interesting. Are you actually going to run a marathon this time when you lose a bet?
No.
Well, look here. If you're going to fade me and bet against me, then you need to bring something to this. We got to have something on the line here.
You know what we could do is what we should have done from the get go was keep track of all of our bets and have a season long affair, and whoever had the best record at the end of the year gets a punishment. But we could still do that.
I'm married, so I'm not interested in affairs. So
okay.
But I will say, how about this? If whoever wins, if LSU covers, I win, obviously. But in this situation, whoever loses the bet has to do the scouting report next week for Arkansas Auburn.
The scouting report, like the story?
Yeah.
Scouting report?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
All right.
I'll take that. I'll take you up. Wait, and it's just LSU to cover, South Carolina to cover.
I've got LSU to cover. You have South Carolina to cover.
Okay.
All right. That's a deal. So if you're the readers out there, you want LSU to cover because you want some high-quality content from Mason Schoed, the publisher of Hogbeat.com. You don't want to read that crap from Riley. It's not going to be good. He's not even going to put any effort into it. All right. Shout out Bet Saracen. Thank you, Bet Saracen, for your partnership with us. We appreciate them and everything that they do. All right, Riley. Anything else to add for Arkansas UAB? Kickoff is 3:15 p.m. Central Time. It'll be on the SEC Network, and that's about all I got to add, man. I feel like we hit it pretty good.
I've got some house cleaning things here. Number one, you know, if you're interested, starting UAB cornerback Ricky Lee III is on injury watch. If he doesn't go, a freshman, Kelvin Hill, who's been playing well, might replace him. I know, like, not a big storyline, but just something to keep in mind. Also, I want to make note, Trent Dilfer, very good speaker. Obviously, that hasn't translated to the football field. He did say, this is his quote, "I don't think it's an exaggeration to say Bobby Petrino is on the Mount Rushmore of college football offensive coaches." I mean, those are high remarks. I mean, I think we all know how good Bobby Petrino is. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but if not, I have a question to ask you, because the last time Arkansas played UAB, 2014, Arkansas won 45-17. I think the most memorable play from that game was Sebastian Tratola's touchdown pass on fourth and goal. So my question to you, Mason, if anyone had to make a spectacular touchdown, whatever, that you wouldn't expect them to make, who is it going to be and how?
Oh, man, that's a great question. Well, I feel like in honor of Sebastian Tratola, we got to pick an offensive lineman here, right?
That's fair.
Man, I'm trying to think if any of these dudes are like super athletic. You know who is athletic for a big guy is Ian Giffrard.
It's not who I was going to go with. Who are you?
Ian Giffrard was doing cartwheels at 400 pounds coming out of high school.
You're absolutely right. But what I'm going to go with, Fernando Carmona Jr., former tight end out of high school.
Right.
I'm just saying, okay. Keep an eye on that.
Fernando Carmona. So if you want to talk about a guy who could catch one, give me Junior Carmona. By the way, if you ever hear someone say Junior, it's Fernando Carmona Jr. So if we're talking catch one, give me Carmona. I like that a lot. They need to have a Bet Saracen prop for that.
They do.
They would. I mean, literally, you might as well just take your dollar bills and burn them. But or Ian Giffrard in a like refrigerator package. How awesome would that be? Man.
Oh man, that'd make my day. That'd be amazing.
If they trotted out Ian Jaffrard as a fullback and handed it off to him for a touchdown, that would
There's
be the
no
most
way beautiful. That wouldn't be a first down.
It would be the most beautiful play in the Sam Pittman era for sure. Assuming it works. If it doesn't work, then we're gonna be like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Like he fumbled.
It's only good if it works.
If he fumbled the handoff, that would be really bad. Should we talk about Taylen Green's accuracy? That's been a topic of debate. But let's look. What did we say after the UAPB game when people were saying that Malachi Singleton, you know, might challenge? I feel like Taylen Green, yeah, he had some bad throws. Yes, in double overtime, he missed a wide open touchdown to Rodney Hill on a wheel route that would have at least given them a chance to tie the game. But it's clear that Taylen Green is a good quarterback. And this team's only going to go as far as he takes it. So,
yeah, I feel like the accuracy thing is going to end up maybe being something that we could talk about every single game. Like he just may not be the kind of guy that goes out there and completes 70% of his passes, but his ability to affect the game in other ways with his legs, whatever. I mean, it outweighs that. No. And you know, it's kind of similar. I don't want to compare him to an NFL quarterback, but I think of a guy like Anthony Richardson, who didn't have a great game completion-wise, but you watch him play, and, I mean, the dude is just – I mean, he's a star, right? Taylen Green, I feel like you watch him play, and he just makes plays. So
yeah, yeah, he does. And he has made some good throws as well, you know. And obviously, when he gets out of the pocket, oh, my gosh, dude.
It's over.
It is over. He is – the strides are so long, man. He looks like a gazelle. So it is fun. It's fun to watch him run. He's just a fun quarterback to watch. I was reading actually a story. I think this was from Saturday Down South, and you know, Auburn, Arkansas will open SEC play against Auburn next weekend. And it was like, what five quarterbacks should Auburn have gotten out of the transfer portal? and I think Taylen Green was like number five on the list. So,
I mean, yeah, Peyton Thorne, I think he had, I don't remember how many picks he had, but it was a good number against California.
I think he had four or five interceptions. Can you imagine if Taylen Green had that in a home loss against Cal?
Yeah, that'd be a Nick Starkle performance right there.
Yeah. Didn't expect to have a Nick Starkle reference on this episode of Hogbeat Radio. So let's move it on here, though, because we got to talk about some stuff not football related. That was announced today, Riley, the baseball schedule, 2025 baseball schedule for your Diamond Hogs. Somehow, some way, it is Thursday, September 12th, and we have the 2025 baseball schedule before we have the 2024-25 basketball schedule. So, Riley, give me your biggest takeaways from this schedule release, and you can read all about it on hogbeat.com.
Yeah, so the first thing that jumped out to me was the Washington State opening weekend series. I know, you know, people might look at SEC play and the games there, but to me, you know, in the past, Arkansas has opened up against Eastern Illinois, James Madison, you know, games you can't really take a whole lot away. You know, Arkansas is good, but how good are they? I feel like Washington State, you know, maybe not, they're not a powerhouse team. You know, I'm not going to go out and say that, but they're an actual baseball team. And that'll be a good tune-up test ahead of the college baseball series in Arlington. You got Kansas State, TCU, Michigan. We already knew about that one. That'll be a fun series. And then SEC play, kind of some tough matchups. I mean, you go on the road to Vanderbilt. You get some good home matchups, too. You get Texas A&M and, what else do they have? Texas, that'll be fun. But then you finish the year at LSU, and then you host the Tennessee Volunteers. I mean, you talk about electricity. Pump that straight into my veins. That's going to be an amazing matchup. I mean, that could be the 1-2 matchup in the SEC, which, by the way, doesn't have East and West divisions anymore. You know, you've got Texas and OU. It's going to be a completely different format in the SEC tournament. Just my first thought looking at the schedule, it's going to be a little bit tougher than past years, but Arkansas has put itself in position with the roster they've built over the offseason, I think, to be successful.
If you read through the comments, dude, of like anything Arkansas baseball related, it is just a cesspool of haters. I posted something this week about Brent Iredale, who, by the way, after watching him in person, he is the real deal, which, by the way, I'll be out there Friday. So stay tuned to hogbeat.com. Nobody covers Arkansas baseball the way that we do. Had some highlights for everybody. And if you want me to make them public, no shot. Never doing that again. Will not be doing that. There's a watermark on them. It is hogbeat.com's video. So just putting that out there. If you want to watch it, you got to go to our website. I don't make those public anymore. So if you want to watch the highlights, those are on our website. You can go watch them. Hogbeat.com, but you do have to be subscribed. I made it subscriber only. So subscribe and you get that stuff. We're out at the scrimmages. We're watching and we're not just taking video, live updates. We're also going to have stats as well. Part of that is through several Arkansas media members. Anyways, Brent Iredale, dude, he freaking rakes and he was stealing bases. And I just posted something about like, hey, Arkansas fans should get to know the name Brent Iredale. And all the comments are just like, well, wait until Nate Thompson gets to him. Or like, someone said SEMO, or someone said, like, I'm not getting excited about this team ever again. I understand. I get it. But I just enjoy watching Arkansas baseball, man. It's a lot of fun.
I mean, I get it, but, like, it's better than watching an Arkansas football team that finds a way to lose every week. So
that's something that somebody who's not a football guy would say, by the way. So I'm going to give you this opportunity right now, Riley. I'm never going to offer it again to take that statement back.
No, I'm good. I'm not receiving that statement. I mean, it's true. I'm sorry. That's true.
But yeah, some of these matchups are going to be fun. Excited to get back down to Arlington. That's, you know, one of my favorite trips every year. I really want to make the trip to Columbia, South Carolina. I've never been there. And that is looks like my birthday weekend. Shout out me.
Yeah, last time they were there, that was the Kevin Copps weekend, right? Robert Moore also hit that big pimp home run in that game too. Yep,
the Oompa Loompa home run. They also play at LSU. I need to get down to the box. Oh wait, no, they play South Carolina at home. I'm so sorry. That series is at home.
Oh my god, unbelievable.
We'll have to edit that out. LSU, that should be a fun one. Going down to the box in May, that's going to be a fun 3 weeks. Look, you got
Texas, LSU, Tennessee.
Yeah, you're telling me that we're going to get to cover Texas in Fayetteville and then probably make the trip down to the box unless something's going on and then come back for Tennessee and then the SEC tournament and then we get into it. Like, that is going to be prime college baseball. That is as good as it gets right there. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, fun schedule, man. Really fun schedule. Anything else?
Not much. I think we kind of covered it on the baseball. Basketball, you know, maybe some visitors. Yeah, the schedule is – who's the final team? UTSA?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
UTSA. So that schedule, I mean, look for that to release any day now. We're just kind of waiting at this point. You can find the entire thing on our website, hogbeat.com. As far as visitors go for basketball, if you want any of that information, subscribe to hogbeat.com. Jackson Collier has you covered on that day in, day out. I think that about does it, Mason.
We also have our visitor list for the UAB game this weekend for football visitors. And so I'll just say, Grayson Wilson will be there, the quarterback of the Conway Wampus Cats, the number one team in the state of Arkansas, if you ask Mason Choate. So. Shout out the Wampus Cats. They got Marion this week. Carius Kern and Marion. So if you are still a little bit upset that Carius Kern flipped his commitment from Arkansas to LSU, go root for them Wampus Cats on Friday night because they're playing Marion. I'm not endorsing like hate on anybody. I'm just encouraging people to root on the Conway Wampus Cats, my alma mater. Do you have anything to say about where are you from, Lavaca? Did they lose again?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned week one, they lost 8-0 to the worst team on their schedule. Week two, I don't know the final score, but I know they lost. No, I'm sorry. They lost, I want to say like 40-14 to Paris. So, yeah, not a big Lavaca fan. I'm just going to go ahead and disown them as my team. I don't really keep up with high school football, probably because of the team I watched growing up was awful. I will say I'm a big Cincinnati Bengals fan. This weekend, they play the Chiefs.
Oh,
so that kind of
Hey,
yeah.
Joe Burrow's got a wrist
big
injury.
Joe Burrow fan.
Joe Burrow's got a wrist injury. You've been seeing
I also have Jamar Chase on my NFL fantasy team, so that's tough.
I don't know if it's real or not. There's like a video of him. He was on the sideline, and he like wouldn't open a water bottle because he was like rolling out his wrist, and somebody was filming him, and he was asked about it in a press conference, and he's like, "I don't even know what you're talking about." But we've all seen the video, Joe. So, and this is something that the Bengals have done in the past. They have hidden injuries that Joe Burrow has, and they, I don't know if they got in trouble for it. By the way, talking about hiding injuries, your San Francisco 49ers, I had so many bets with Christian McCaffrey in it just for them to already know on Friday that he wasn't going to play. They better get in trouble for that.
Hey, shout out to Jordan Mason, backup running back. Really good.
Great last name.
Okay. I don't like him anymore.
Yeah. There you go. So, all right, Riley. Thanks, man. Anything else to add about the UAB game? I really feel like we're missing something. I don't know why. This is a shorter episode. But again, like I've said like three times now, Arkansas is not losing this game. There's no chance that Arkansas loses this game. No way in the world that Arkansas loses to UAB on September 14th, 2024.
Yep. I think my preseason score prediction was in the realm of 37 to 17. After the first 2 weeks, I'm thinking more like kind of like the game a few years ago, 45 to 17, something like that. I think if it's within 14 points or so, Arkansas has got some issues, I think.
Well, and you also have to think about this aspect of it, and we'll leave you with this, and I'll let Riley give a thought and then we'll leave. You got to put on a show at Razorback Stadium, dude. Your fans were forced to travel to Little Rock, and now we know that some of the fans are there. Cool. That's not where the university is. And so they had to do that. Then you had to make them go over to Stillwater. And now you finally get to have them in front of your real home crowd in Fayetteville. Do not come out and throw up a dud. I swear, dude, what's going to happen is the first drive, Taylen Green's going to throw an interception. That's what's going to happen, and we're going to be like, you got to be kidding me.
The crowd is going to die so fast, man. If that happens, yeah. I mean, Pittman, some of the players, you know, the transfer players are excited to play. You know, they keep saying a sellout crowd. That I don't think is going to happen.
Doubt it.
But, I mean, the atmosphere might be okay. Early in the year still, they looked good against Oklahoma State. But, no, you're right. I mean, they got to come out here and dominate. This is a team, another tune-up matchup. But, I mean, frankly, by the fourth quarter, you know, maybe you don't have all of your backups in. But, I mean, if you can get some backup guys in there, make sure you're healthy ahead of Auburn. I mean, you know, I think that's the ideal way this game plays out. So,
oh, I do know one piece of news that we did not mention. Dasmond James suspended for this game, violation of team rules. So, that actually is a notable thing because he did not travel to Oklahoma State. You would think maybe, you know, as a second-year scholarship receiver, he would have gone. Who's the guy that causes the muff punt? Your freshman wide receiver, Cross Johnson. Would that have been Dasmond James? According to Andrew Hutchinson of Best of Arkansas Sports, in week one, the gunner was Marquise Robinson, who had the stinger pregame. So you're telling me Marquise Robinson goes down, then you got to throw in Cross Johnson. Would Dasmond James have been there? I don't know, but it was weird that Sam Pittman just randomly mentioned that Dasmond James was suspended. He had no reason to mention that because James hasn't played a snap this season. So that was interesting.
Very interesting. Butterfly effect is real. We saw it week two. You know, I don't expect that to be, you know, something that causes any issues against UAB.
Nope, not at all. But didn't need to mention it. It is notable. One thing that we did not mention. All right. Also, Arkansas is a top 25 team, according to ESPN's FPI. We got to mention that. Arkansas is a top 25 team. Why did we not lead the show off with that, Riley?
I don't know. That's an attention grabber.
That's an attention grabber.
I did write the story. And, I mean, hey, before Oklahoma State, they had a couple AP votes. They didn't this week. They probably won't the entire year, barring a major turnaround or surprise. But, you know, you never know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, next week against Auburn, that's the big test. If you can win that game, things are looking a lot different.
I think I don't know about you and the rest of the Razorback fan base is excited to finally open up SEC play and really start talking about this season, how it's going to play out. But we got to go through one more week.
Yep. All right. Again, 3:15 SEC Network. Make sure you're tuned in to hogbeat.com. You got to subscribe for the live updates. The game thread always is 100% respectful. Nobody says anything bad. Everybody pumping sunshine the whole time. And we do a good job keeping you updated as well. So check out hogbeat.com. Check out our Twitters. If you're watching on the YouTube, you can see it scrolling at the bottom. If you're not, just look up our names and you will find us there. Thank you, Riley. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We really do appreciate it. You know, this is something that we don't really like advertise a lot. We're kind of just doing it because we want to, and it's fun, and our subscribers enjoy it. So thank you to everybody for listening. We appreciate it. We will talk to you next Thursday on Hog Beat Radio.